Hello and welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. The following message entitled, It's Your Move, is the fifth and final part of our Sunday morning series entitled, Taking the Whole Gospel to the Whole World for the Whole Man, and features our lead pastor, Pastor Ray Noah. So now, let's join Pastor Ray as he shares with us this week's message.
Let me just speak for a moment preliminarily about where we're headed. Next week, I am so excited to begin a new series with you on the book of Romans. I was thinking about this. In all of my Christian life, which is all of my life, I was born into a Christian family. My dad was a pastor, so I grew up in a church. And then I got into adulthood and went to college and became a pastor. So I've never not been a part of the church. And in all of my life, I have never heard a pastor do a series on the book of Romans. Now, I'm sure you've been a part of churches where that's happened, but not been my experience. And I can kind of understand why, because Romans is such an intimidating book. I mean, it is the longest teaching epistle in the New Testament, and it is very, very deep. I mean, it is deeply, deeply theological, and not just shallow little doctrines, if there is such a thing as a shallow doctrine. I mean, these are the deep doctrinal truths of Scripture that are just, Romans is chock full of those. And so we're going to tackle those. And so we're beginning the journey, and this journey is going to last almost this entire year. It's a 10-month study, as I've laid it out. You know, usually my series are 8, 10, maybe 12 weeks at the most. This is a 10-month series. We're just going to walk through it expositorily, maybe verse by verse, section by section, and I hope you're up for it. Do you think you're up for it? Are you? Yeah, yeah. We'll see. This is not for the faint of heart. So I would encourage you to get one of those journals. I don't know if anyone has one of those. I forget what they're called, but they're the journals that we sell, and take notes. Take notes because I believe that in the collection of information, we're also going to experience transformation in this series. And so this is a way for you to organize. And in that binder, there's a lot of things. And, some of you complain about the sermon notes that are available to you in the bulletin every week that it's not enough because I talk too much and you don't have enough space. Well, in the journal, there's a lot of other note sheets that you can have that are pre-printed for you. And it's just a way for you to collect and organize and then go back to and review and pray over what you're learning in Scripture. And I really have a sense, as I prayed about this, I've been studying it, by the way, for about 6 months now. The last 6 months of last year, God had me in Romans. I read every day. I prayed through it. I read on it. I wrote on it. And I'm ready. I am ready. And I'm so excited about it. And so I believe that God is wanting us, and we have to be careful that when we go through studies like this, that it's not just about more information. I mean, Lord knows that the American church is educated well beyond any commensurate level of obedience, right? We have all this biblical knowledge stuffed in our heads. So it's not about information. I believe this will be a transformational journey for Portland Christian Center and for each of us, including me. One of the great verses in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul talks about being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so I believe as we look into God's Word and get it into our minds, our lives are going to be transformed. The Greek word there for transformation is morphe. We're gonna morph. We're going to metamorphosize. We're going to be changed by the Holy Spirit as we embrace and internalize God's holy word. So get ready. Next Sunday, we start in the book of Romans. Now, as you know, we've been in this missions month, and this is the end of it. Last 2 weeks have been our missions convention. And all month long, off and on, I've talked about a verse that I wanted us to adopt as a theme verse for this month. In fact, I've adopted this as the theme verse for my life this year. This is what I believe God is calling me to, and I've asked you to memorize it, and I hope that you will make it your theme verse as well. It's found in the Old Testament. It's a great verse. In fact, I heard it yesterday, or maybe it was Friday night at the men's conference that many of us went to. Great conference, by the way. The same verse was quoted. It's kind of an obscure verse, but it's so powerful. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. You can see it on the screens, or you can look it up in your own Bible. This happens to be from a translation that probably you're not using right now, but I want us to say this verse together. Would you say it with me, every voice aloud? For the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfect toward Him, so He can show His great power in helping them. That's a great verse. And that is an amazing promise that God will share, will release His power to us. Now, think about that. Think about what God's power is. The power of God that hung the universe in space as if it were no big deal. The stars, the galaxies, the earth, the sun. I mean, that was the power of God that was the creative force to bring into existence something, all of this, out of nothing. It's the same power by which Jesus went about doing all kinds of miracles. He healed the sick. He cast demons out. He raised the dead. He calmed the storms. That's that power. That's the power of God. It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from death. Literally, raised a dead body to life. Jesus, our risen Lord. That power. God says, I will release that very power to you. What a promise. How would you like to have some of that power, friends? Would you? I would. I would like to have some of that power. God has promised to release His power to us. But there's a condition, and it's a pretty stiff, pretty serious condition. You see it there. He only releases His power. He's looking for people who meet this condition. He's scouring the earth for people whose hearts are what? Are perfect toward Him. You're thinking, oh boy, that may eliminate me. That does eliminate me because my heart is anything but perfect. I'm a sinful human being, and I guess I don't qualify. Well, understand that the word perfect doesn't mean sinless, although wouldn't that be nice, and we need to strive for that with God's help. Perfect simply means a heart or a life that is fully devoted to Him, and that you can do. That is something that I can do, is to offer God my heart, my life, full devotion to Him. And so as we come to the end of this missions convention this morning, it's my sense that we're at the beginning. We're at the beginning, the leading edge of something that is going to fundamentally change how we experience church at Portland Christian Center and how you experience life as a favored child of God. We're at a watershed moment. We are today. We are at a watershed moment. Now, I know that you're probably thinking, you know, pastors just learn to talk like that in seminary. They use these contrived and exaggerated terms like watershed moment and a seminal moment and a defining moment, you know, and those kind of things are thrown around a lot. And so I'm not quite sure if I really do mean that. It is my sense that we as a church and us that make up this church, we are at that watershed moment where there's going to be a new flow of divine power coming our way. And I got to tell you, I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited. And I think today is critical in that release of flow of God's power. I was so excited, I barely slept last night because of what I believe God is going to do in this service today. Now, to have that release of divine supply, we've got to step out. We've got to move out in faith. You see, friends, it's our move. It's our move. God has moved. God has called. God has shown us what to do. Guess what? It's our move. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? God has literally set before us a path that not only will lead to blessing that comes back on us, but we've talked about this all month long, that will lead to global impact through this church. Not many churches are given that grace, are given that opportunity to shake and to change the world. But Portland, for whatever reason, Portland Christian Center has. And in this moment today, in this moment, in this seminal moment, watershed moment, we can make history. We can make history. Do you want to be a part of history? We can make history. If not human history, if not the annals of church history, this is about us taking our place in God's great hall of faith alongside the other notables that you read about in Hebrews chapter 11 and some not so notables, people that were unknown, that stepped out. They made their move and they stepped out and God used them mightily and they were written in God's great hall of faith. And as sure as I'm standing here, I believe that today is that moment for Portland Christian Center. So what are some of the things that God has called us to that it's going to take some courageous faith, some ruthless trust, some unwavering courage, some total surrender for us to do. Well, we've talked about it. One of those opportunities is this church planting project in Ethiopia. A few weeks ago, I announced that God had called us to plant 250 churches in 2010 in Ethiopia. A friend of mine, a pastor, was in the service a few weeks ago when I announced that. And I didn't really talk to him afterwards, but I talked to him this past week at a pastor's conference or pastor's retreat over on the coast. And he came up to me and he said, "Man, you need to get some vision." You got to get some vision. That's my vision. That's God's vision. He's placed in my heart, and he's placed that stewardship in this church that we're going to plant 250 churches. And today is the day that I ask you to pray about and to bring your commitment if God was calling you to do something to help me to plant these churches. And today at the end of the service, we're going to give you a chance, an opportunity to do that. But I got to tell you this, God has been, this is a huge step of faith, friends. From my vantage point, standing up here, my knees are having fellowship one with another. Man, this is scary stuff for me. This is a big undertaking. So this is a real step of faith for me as your leader. And I know for you as well to step out and say, I want to be a part of this. But God has been confirming and authenticating this along the way. Thursday morning, I got an email. The email originated not in an email, but just in the heart of a pastor in Ethiopia. Pastor is named Bekele Godeta. I told you about him. He is the first church planter that we ever worked with. He's an apostle. He really is. And his church has grown to 3,000. His church plant has grown to 3,000 now. He's planted 26 other churches. And he is the guy that contacted me and said, I have a vision to plant 250 churches. Will you help me? And that was our Macedonian call. Yeah, we can help. We're going to do it. And when I got there this year to meet with him and to begin to lay out the strategy, I said to Bekele, so 250, that's your goal? I thought, that's a pretty stiff goal. He said, oh, no. I just want to start with 250. I want to plant 2,000 churches. Well, this week, he, from his heart, called the people of Gojo, Jeldu District, West Shoa Zone, of the Oromia region of Ethiopia. Now, if that sounds remote, it is. That is the end of the world, the ends of the earth, and about six blocks beyond, Gojo, Ethiopia. He somehow got word to my Ethiopian coordinator in Addis Ababa, the capital, who sent an email to me, and it arrived Thursday morning, and this is what it said. He says, it is to let you know, in their language, it is to let you know that 7 days of fast and prayer is announced in Jeldu for you, your family, and your church, and for the work of the kingdom that we are going to begin in this region. Friends, 3,000 plus people in Gojo, Ethiopia, are fasting and praying for Portland Christian Center this morning. Now, is that an authentication, an affirmation that God is at work in calling us to something great? That he would stir the hearts of these poor people in Ethiopia who are willing to sacrifice and give it all if they'll just get some help, some resourcing. That he's moving them right now to fast and pray for us that we will have the courage to make our move, to step out in faith, and to do and to allow God to work through us to do what only God can do, to change the world, to change that nation, to change that region, to change the world through our obedience in this moment. I've received some other encouraging news. Some of you have been turning in your commitment cards. I told you to wait till today, and you jumped the gun, and you know, that's okay. I guess it's a holy thing. And I've had all kinds of several. I don't want to overestimate, but several people have already turned in their commitments. One family said, "Listen, Pastor, we don't think that we can, and nor is God calling us to do a whole church for $1,600, but we want to do part of that. We want to do $400, and that's going to be a stretch for us." And they said, "And we are selling items on eBay as a family to make this happen." That is so cool to me that these folks are getting creative and they're engaging their family, and they're going to have a part of planting a church in Ethiopia. A couple of weeks ago, I got a letter in the mail, and I opened it up, and it was a check for $1,600. And there was a letter attached to it, and it was from a lady in our church, and And I called her and asked if I could share her story, and she said, yeah, and without using her name, she said, it has been a really tough year for me. She said, there has been some diminished income and some financial challenges that I didn't expect, but I believe, listening to this opportunity, that God has called me to step out and to plant a church. And so she sent the check. And then she said, would you mind praying for me that God will bless me and help me to do this? And so when I called her and asked if I could share, she emailed back and she said, oh, I'm so relieved that you didn't think I was selfish for asking you to pray for blessing for me. Oh, of course not. I believe that this is that watershed moment when we step out, when we put ourselves, our resources, our lives on the line to do what God has called us to do, that God is going to release the blessing back to us. Stories like that, a recent college graduate that doesn't have a job yet said, I'm supposed to do this. I'll help you. I want to do this. I don't have a job. I don't have money, but I'm going to give $20 a month until I pay it off. So the amount doesn't matter. It's the act of obedience that counts. And whatever we release to God in obedience and trust and faith, God is going to use, and God has a way of multiplying that, and God will bring and release blessing, divine favor, power back into your life. It's what God is looking for, hearts that are fully devoted to Him. Why? So He can show His great power in helping them. This is our moment. We're going to make our move today. We're going to plant 250 churches in Ethiopia, and the world is going to change. We're also going to do that through our One Day to Feed the World project in Haiti. You heard about that last week from my friend, Brian McLeese. And we have set aside a day that we're going to be encouraged, all of us, to set aside one day's wage and bring that on Easter Sunday that we're going to put in an offering for the poor, to connect with and resource the churches of Haiti to feed the hungry, and to do the work of the gospel. Not like a lot of other humanitarian agencies that go in and throw millions of dollars, billions of dollars in Haiti, and it hasn't been changed. We're going to do it strategically through the local church. And I believe that Haiti is at a watershed moment as well, where we're finally going to see some change happen. Why? Because the church is engaged like never before, and we get to be a part of that. And so I'm asking all of us to begin to prepare for that. We're about 70 days away. And so begin to get creative about it. And what I want you to do is to engage personally in it. I want you to enter into the poverty and the suffering of the poor as Jesus did. Please, whatever you do, don't just give an offering. Don't just debit your checking account. Don't do that. But enter into this through the Spirit of God and identify and then with what God is doing in the world, and then bring your offering. You may not have a job. Maybe you're a student. Maybe you get an allowance. Maybe you just, I don't know. I would just say get creative. Maybe it's giving up coffee or whatever you have. You know, maybe it's, I don't know what it is, but if we all, maybe it's engaging your family in a creative way to do this. Maybe it's engaging your business and offering matching funds for employees who will do this. I think we're going to get real creative with this, and I think God is going to really use this to not only touch the nation of Haiti. I'm expecting an extraordinary offering, but I think God is going to touch our hearts in turn for this act of faith. We're going to do it on Easter Sunday. You think, well, that's kind of a crazy day to do it. That's when all of our visitors, our guests come. Well, what better way to show a community that's suspicious of us anyway that we care for the poor? In fact, we're going to set a portion of that aside. We've already worked this out. We're going to set a portion of that, a very small portion of that offering aside to touch the poor here in Portland as well. I can't think of a better witness that we're going to have to this community than by doing that. And I would encourage you to use that as leverage, witnessing leverage, as you talk to the people in your life. Hey, this is what my church is doing, because people are listening right now. They're listening and they're looking for authentic Christianity. What they want is living proof of a loving God in this lost community. So give it to them, and what a great way for us to do it. This is our move. We're going to make our move, and we're going to change the world one day to feed the world. We're going to do it also through, we've talked a little bit about this already, but through greater and more intentional care and involvement with the poor. It's not just about giving money. It's about care and involvement, coming alongside the poor in this community, locally. I'm so proud of this church, by the way. There's a lot of ways we're already doing this, and I want us to lift that onto the radar, because we're already at work doing this, but I think we can do even more. I think it's Scott Nedelecki. Scott's right over here. Scott, would you just stand real quickly, and then you can sit down again. I just want you to see who he is. That's Scott. I wanted him to come up here, but because we're running out of time, I'm not going to do that. But Scott is taking his small group and working with a ministry called Bridgetown. And they go under the bridge in Portland, under some of the bridges, I don't know which one, and in what they call a night strike. And they go down and they minister to the homeless people that are under that bridge. If you've ever driven down that Nido Parkway and you see sleeping bags and all kinds of stuff down there, people that live down there, this young man and his small group go down once a month. And they minister to those people who need to experience the love of God in a tangible way. I don't know what all they do, but I know some of what they do is they at times have washed their feet. Now that's pretty industrial strength faith to do that. I think of Linda Eaton, who's worked with the Union Gospel Mission, and she does the same thing. She takes teams of people down there, and at times they wash their feet and they minister, they serve the poor. She's going to be out at the information desk, and if you want to join her in that kind of a urban plunge, I challenge you to do so. I talked to James and Jody Guffey. James is one of our guitar players, and their daughter, just slipped my mind, Ella. Ella, 7 years old. And she's got their family ministering to a homeless person under one of the bridges here in Portland. She saw this homeless person, and she said, "Mom, Dad, we got to do something." And she bugged them until they started to stop and give food, not just money, but to give food. And one day they took a coat and they gave it to their, and she calls it her person, her guy. Little Ella says, "That's my guy. I'm his sponsor," she says. I wish she was here so you could see her. I mean, that's how our church is getting engaged in serving the poor, through Royal Family Kids Camp. I mean, we dedicate human resources and financial resources from this church to minister to mostly poor kids that come out of the foster care system in the city of Portland. We take them away for a summer, and we treat these kids that don't often get treated with love. We treat them not only with love, but like they're the royal kids of the king that they really are. In fact, some of our folks have gone way beyond that, and they've actually literally adopted those kids into their own family. They're now a part of our church family. That is industrial strength surrender, friends. So are we engaging the poor? Yeah. Can we do more? Yes. So when you leave today, stop by one of those opportunities, because mostly out there, those are our opportunities to engage in greater and more intentional care and involvement with the poor. One more way, and that is through our ongoing missions. We're making our move. We're going to change the world through our ongoing mission strategy. We have a real simple strategy. Three words: send, go, and do. Send, go, and do. And every one of us can be involved in that. By sending, what we're saying is we're going to pray for those missionaries that are listed on your faith, the back of your faith promise. We have over 100 missionaries and missions agencies that we support every month. And they need our prayer. Ask any one of these people out there. They'll say, "Please pray for us." We do that by praying for them, and we do that by giving. Our missions offerings that we encourage you to give, the faith promises for missions that we encourage you to give, are all about keeping these people on the field and in position where they can change the world through the ministries that God has called them to. So we have a strategy of sending. We're a sending agency. What I'm also encouraging is that each of us will go. We'll go. That's why I said go on a global plunge one of these days, at least once in your life. Get beyond the borders of the United States and go and be a part of a building trip or an evangelism team or a preaching team or a caring team. It will change your life. You will take God's love to those people in a very tangible way, but God's love will change you in a very tangible way if you will get touched by the world. So go at least once in your lifetime, if at all possible. And then do, what do we mean by that? Well, once a year, we want you to do locally. We want you to go locally. We want you to serve the poor. We want you to be involved in an outreach. And a lot of what we are talking about today is that, opportunities to do that. We reach out in other ways through our Robert Gray Cleanup Day and things like that. So there will be a lot of ongoing and one-time service opportunities where we can engage locally. And I hope that you will do that you will make a commitment to do that at least once a year. I've made a commitment. I'm working with the Portland Rescue Mission. I know Pastor Bob is as well. And people that want to go with us, you're welcome to do that. But choose one of these ministries or create your own. But it's time for us to care and be involved with the poor because that's the heart of God. If you're not convinced of that after last week and the week prior, then just go back and read the Bible because you're going to run into it very quickly that God's heart, in a very special, tender way, is for the poor. So we're at this watershed moment, and now it's our move. God is calling us on a kingdom adventure, and if we'll move out in faith, in trust, in obedience, and in surrender, I believe that God will grant us a breakthrough. Today, I believe, is the beginning of the breakthrough for many of us, a breakthrough to deeper intimacy with Him, a greater satisfaction of life, a greater enjoyment of living, and a release of divine provision to abundantly bless the work of our hands. As I thought and prayed about this moment, God spoke to me this week. And He said, the way I want you to do this, the way I want you to figuratively make this move and encourage the folks to make the move is by receiving a commitment offering today at the end of the service. And so as the service ends, we're going to worship the Lord some more, and I'm going to invite you to take what's in your bulletin, your faith promise card, and your Ethiopia commitment card, and I'm going to ask you to walk it and just lay it on these altars. And in that commitment offering, now I'm not asking you to bring money, unless you want to. This is not about money. This is not about making me a more wealthy pastor or us a more wealthy church. What is represented here today is going beyond. It doesn't stay in our pockets. This goes out to reach the world. Now, listen, some of you haven't been called. God didn't speak to you about Ethiopia. That is fine. Remember, just pray and obey God. That's all I'm asking you to do. But the faith promise is something that we all can do. The faith promise is us saying to God, Lord, if you'll bless, I'll be the conduit of that blessing. If you will release resources to me, I will release them. They'll just pass through my life back into your work. That's a faith promise. It's not tithing. You know, tithing is really just baseline obedience that we've been called to. By the way, if you're not tithing, listen, God can't release His favor to you. Read Malachi 3. I had it in my notes and we just don't have time. Read Malachi 3. God cannot bless you if you're not tithing. That's just baseline obedience. I'm not talking about offerings. That's what you decide to do in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, decide in your heart what you want to do and give it cheerfully because God loves a cheerful giver. God will bless you for the offerings. It's your choice, by the way. You get to choose where it goes. I don't. You say, this is what I want my offering above my tithe, what I want it to do. But the faith promise, I think, in some ways, is the highest level of giving because you say to God, I don't have it, God, but if you'll give it to me, if you'll put it in my heart and give it to me, I will release it to your kingdom. That's what a faith promise will do. Now, if you'll do that, doesn't matter who you are, even if you don't have a job, if you're a student, you're on a fixed income as a student, you say, you know, God, if you'll release this to me somehow, I'll give it to your work. And when you do that, it's amazing the blessing. It's amazing every time the blessings that God brings back into your life for making that promise to Him. We'll collect them. We don't record them as pledges. That's not what it is. It's just an act of faith that you bring and say, God, I'm trusting you for this. And we'll keep them and pray over them. And then we'll mail them back to you in about a month so you remember what you committed to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you to do. But it's always, faith promise is always, it's always that watershed moment where God releases His power to help those who are fully committed to Him. I got to tell you a great story about faith promise. But I'm not going to tell it to you myself because I'm going to have somebody else come and tell it because it's the story of their faith promise commitment made many, many years ago and how God used that and blessed that in their life. And so I'm going to ask Vic, if he would, Vic Bailey, to come to the platform, and we're going to just share for a moment and then we're going to do our commitment offering. And someone told me shared this story about Vic and faith promise, and I thought, wow, that's great. I'd like to share that in service on Sunday. And then I called Vic and asked if he would be willing to share it. And he told me more of the details of this story. And I was amazed, and I thought, people have to hear this story, especially the younger people who maybe have never experienced what a faith promise is. Oh, Vic and Daylene have been a part of this church since 1992. And great, great people, and have a ministry of their own. They go out in the MAPS program, and I think help other areas, other churches to with some building projects and things like that. But Vic, you have an amazing story about faith promise and your commitment, your trust in the Lord to use you to release resources to the kingdom. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, good morning, church. We're excited about what we've heard this morning, and our story goes back to the spring of 1964. I was in the military service at that time, serving in up in Great Lakes, about 40 miles north of Chicago. Daylene and I attended the Assembly of God Church up in Kenosha, Wisconsin, just north of where we were in the military service. We were in a service just like we have this morning, a faith promise service. Would you believe that? And they were asking for pledges. Faith promise pledges. And Daylene and I looked at each other, and wow, $200 is what we pledge for the whole year. Now, that's a lot of money, especially when my pay in the military was $85.78 a month. Figure it out. We did one time, 11 cents an hour, George. In those days, before coming into the military, I worked for the Standard Oil Company of California as a sales rep, and they had lots of good benefits, and one of them that I get my job back after I was through with the military. The other was that they had a new financial aid program. It was new, and we didn't get a lot of information about it, but we went ahead and we signed the forms, thought we couldn't hurt. What are we going to do? Daylene and I talked about this on the way home from church. We decided we would get some 3x5 cards, and we would offer our services of car washing and waxing automobiles. $3 or $4 for a car to wash it, and maybe $10-$15 to wax it. And little by little, it started to come in. And anyways, we worked hard and long during the summer. The fall time came in winter, and we went to Portland, Oregon from Chicago to see Daylene's parents for the Christmas holidays. Upon returning, the train was late, and we got into Chicago after the train service going north. So we had to spend the night there in the train station. Got home the next morning to lots of snow. Lots of snow and cold, like about 20 degrees below zero. And the fellow that was supposed to take care of our little mobile home got inebriated. Anyways. Suffice it to say, the motorhome was very cold. You could see your breath. The toilet stool was busted and ice all over the place. And Daylene was in the corner with the mail bag and in tears. Hmm. And we bundled her up, and she started opening up the mail. We hadn't heard anything from Standard Oil for months, for well over a year.
Kind of forgotten about it, hadn't you?
We had forgotten about it. The Lord's our witness. We had forgotten about that. And she started opening up envelopes. And Ray, one of those envelopes had $500 in it. There was some other envelopes that looked like they were the same. And we opened up $3,500. And then there was another envelope from Standard Oil, and it was a little different color. We opened up it, and it said that they were going to give us an allotment for the next 18 months, the time I had left in the military service. And what it was going to make up the difference between my military pay and what I was going to make when I returned. And we were just grateful for that. And we're firm believers in the faith promise commitment. And we give the Lord the praise and the glory.
Amen. What an incredible story, and incredible story of you stepping out of faith, but God really honoring that in very real ways, tangible ways, bringing blessing back into your life. And I know since then, over these years, God has really been faithful to that, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
He's blessed you guys.
I think the key was the obedient part. Obedience. And again, we give the Lord the glory for that.
Amen. Thank you, Vic. Would you say thank you to Vic for sharing that? I'm going to invite Pastor Ron and the music team to come. We're going to worship the Lord and bring our commitment offering to this altar. You know, does it always work that dramatically? I don't know. I'm not God. But I know that God honors faithfulness. I know that he honors trust. I know that he honors sacrifice. I know that he honors people who put his kingdom first. His word says that. After the first service, someone handed me a paper after they brought their faith promise to the altar. And it says, I overheard a great quote on a TV sermon this morning. I love this. It says, here's the quote. What you keep in your hand is the most it will ever be. What you keep in your hand is the most it will ever be. When you give it to God, it's the least it will ever be. Isn't that great? Hang on to it. It's the most it'll ever be. Release it to God. That is the least. And watch God multiply it. I believe in this faith walk this morning to this altar, your faith promises, your Ethiopia commitments, something is going to happen. There's going to be a breakthrough. And God is going to do something. There's something going to be released. That power is going to be released. Released. Doesn't matter who, if it's if it's a teenager, you know, and saying, I don't have much, but I want to be used by God in this way. If it's a senior citizen that says, I want to be used by God in this way, if God will give it, I'll release it. You know, if it's someone with a business and you say, you know what, I'm going to step up. You know, God is going to, if someone that doesn't have a job, someone who's really challenged financially right now, whatever we release from our hands to God, that's the least it's going to be, because God is going to bring back blessing, financial and otherwise, into our lives. So I have in my hand my commitment. This morning I put, and I'm not saying this to brag, I'm just saying this to share with you that I'm not asking you to do something that Linda and I are not going to do ourselves. From our family of four, we brought four churches that we're planning. Two daughters that don't have jobs. They said, Dad, we're in. God's going to provide. We're going to plant a church. Lynn and I are as well, two churches. So the Noah family is doing four. And again, the amount isn't important. It's the obedience that counts. And I'm bringing my faith promise. And Linda said, well, what is it? I was reluctant to share. So she took this from me and she looked at it. She went, oh, you're kidding. And I said, it's God's problem. I'm just going to be the conduit, and I'm believing that God is going to give me a breakthrough, just like I believe he's going to give you a breakthrough. So we're going to sing, and you come. As the Spirit moves in your heart, you come, and you lay your commitment to the Lord, and this is going to be that breakthrough walk, I believe, where things supernatural are going to be released in your life.
For listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast, featuring the fifth and final part of our series, Taking the Whole Gospel to the Whole World for the Whole Man. If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect, please join us next Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. And for more information about our church, you can visit us online at www.pcctoday.com.